We're going to continue on today, though, in our Heavenly Hoarders series. And if you have your Bibles, you can either turn or punch in your little app or however you read your Bible nowadays. We're going to start in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Now, today we're going to look at this story, this interaction between three different people. These the three characters we're going to look at today, one of them is Jesus, one of them is a man named Jairus, and then the other one is a woman that the Bible calls the woman with the issue of blood. Now, to give you a background on these three people, Jesus, many of you probably know who he is, but Jesus is kind of, he's jump-started his ministry. Things are starting to kind of pop off, like people are starting to like flock around him. In massive crowds, like Justin Bieber in 2007, like they're literally just following him everywhere he goes, like paparazzi, that everywhere he has to literally, the only place that he can be alone is when he's on a boat with his disciple. And so in this story, he's getting off of a boat and he's going back and forth over this lake. So he goes on one side, things happen, crowd gathers, he gets back on the boat, goes back to the other side, and this is where we pick up and the crowd is gathering again. We have a man named Jairus, and what we know what the Bible tells us about Jairus is that he is a synagogue leader. And I think there's a couple places where they tell us this, so I think it's very important as a reader of the Bible that we understand that this is something that they wanted us to know, that he was a synagogue leader. So he was probably a man who was well off. He was a man of stature. He was a man that was probably well respected in the community. He would have been somebody who, as we read this story, he would have not done normally the things that he does in the text that we're going to today. He is kind of in a desperate situation in life, and so he has a need, and he comes to Jesus. And then the other character is a woman that they simply describe as a woman with an issue of blood, and she had a disease for 12 years. 12 years. And what happens with this disease, with the disease that she has, it gives her a label of being unclean. So she's not allowed to. People don't want to be around her. Put it that way. They don't want to touch her. They don't even want to be around her. And so instead of taking a risk and having to go through all these ceremonial things, if you come in contact with this person, they just say we're gonna kind of just like send you over there because I'm not gonna risk it. Just get out of here. And so they isolate people like this. So they isolate people who are unclean. And they're on the outside of the gates, like just having an unclean party. Like it's probably a really stinky, disgusting party. But they just kind of put all these people together because it doesn't matter if they come in contact with one another. And so those are our three characters today that we're going to be kind of dissecting and talking about. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so, so much, Lord, for your word. Lord, we can never, ever thank you enough for the gift of your son, Jesus, and the price that he paid for us on the cross. Lord, this morning, I just ask that your word comes alive in our hearts today. Father, that it would be your words, not mine, and your will, not mine, that will be done in this place today. We thank you. We love you. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of you in here are impatient? Decent amount of hands. I'm glad you're willing to admit it. There's probably some other people in here that like you should have had your hand raised. I consider myself to be a pretty patient person, give or take. And my friends used to kind of like, they used to always tell me that I was super patient. And so I kind of got like a little boastful about it. And then I went through some really hard seasons of life. And then I stopped talking about it because I was like, all right, God, I get it. I don't want to learn any more lessons about patience. All right. But I'm pretty patient usually, but all my patience kind of goes out the window in two scenarios. There's probably more, but there's two that I know off the top of my head that it's like instantly like patience is gone. First one, people who stop walking in public, right? You can connect with this. You ever been walking and then somebody just stop and you, what are they doing? What are you even looking at? We were on vacation recently and people did it all the time and it drove me nuts. Next thing you know, their iPad's in the air and I'm like, okay. I'm walking around because my patience is gone. It's completely gone. Number two is when I get behind the wheel of a car. Now, many people can probably relate to this. Is anybody else there? Anybody else? Am I alone today? I would think not. Usually when I get behind the wheel of a car, it is my patience is gone. It doesn't make me combative. It just makes me fussy. Like it doesn't make me become an aggressive driver. Like, do you have people like that? I don't ride with people like that. Like I know people. I won't mention their names because you know them, but there are people that when they get impatient, you're like, who is this person? It's like they get combative. And I'm like, all right, dude, chill. Like, I'm trying to live, bro. Like, I'll walk, all right? I will walk at this point. But I don't ride with people like that, okay? But I get really impatient behind the wheel of a car because I hate the stopping of my traveling, right? Like, if you're in a place where it's like traffic is, it's just a part of life. Like, if you live in Los Angeles, you can't get mad about traffic because you just would never drive. You would never travel anywhere because there's traffic all the time. But for me, all my patience goes completely out the window when I'm traveling and my traveling gets stopped. So if somebody else stops me and I'm like, why are you looking at that cloud? We all see it, you know, or why is there traffic? Biggest pet peeve. All right, here we go. Fun fact. Biggest pet peeve is when there's an accident on the other side of the road and everyone else slows down on the other side of the road. Is anybody else with me on that? All right, cool. I had to get it out. I'm sorry. I had to get it out. Drives me nuts. Absolutely insane. But when I read the Bible, especially when I'm like really trying to study a piece of text or a character or somebody that I'm really trying to just like, okay, why did you make this decision? Anybody read the Bible like that? Like you like to put yourself in their shoes? Like why? I want to know why you made that decision. I want to know why you went that way. Why you didn't go this way? Why did you do that again? Why did you decide to say that again? Why are you asking such weird questions? What you thought you understood, but Jesus is telling you something else, and now you're asking really weird things. Why? You know, I like to really dissect and try to understand people in the Bible. So today we're going to put ourselves in the shoes of Jairus, if that's okay. And I'm going to take you on some cinematic adventures because when I read the Bible, I see like I'm a very visual person. So I like to make like Stephen's movie cinema in my mind. And I really hope that there is a movie theater in heaven. So when I get there, I can watch everything that ever happened. It'd be amazing, right? So for me, we're going to put ourselves in Jairus' shoes. Now, what we know about Jairus, again, is that he's a synagogue leader. He is a person of stature. He is someone that probably would not have done the thing that he is about to do. Because when we read our text, we find that Jairus, he has a need. He has a big need. And that need is that his daughter, she's super sick and she's dying. And so he comes to Jesus and there's this really large crowd that is beginning to form around him. And he fights through the crowd and the Bible says that he fell at Jesus' feet. And I love this because before he said anything, before he even presented a request, before he asked Jesus anything, before he said anything, did anything, whatever, he fights through the crowd, and the Bible says that he fell at Jesus' feet. And I think as modern day Christians, I think a lot of times we like to skip that step. We like to jump straight to the my little daughter is dying part. We like to present God with our need instead of submitting to him first. We like to skip that part that maybe will require a little bit more of us. We like to skip the step that might be a little bit more harder. It's a lot easier to just present a request to Jesus and then walk away than it is to come to him, posture yourself in a place where you can see a miracle, to posture yourself in a place of submission. Because if all we ever do is present Jesus with requests, then we'll never actually see the true power of Jesus because we're not submitted to him in our lives. And it's not that request right there, my little daughter is dying, that is the immediate thing. That is on the top of his mind. That is the thing he's most concerned about. And I'm sure for us nowadays, you might have a serious need. Maybe you just got a diagnosis. Maybe you just lost your job. Whatever it is, you have a serious need. And it's not that God doesn't want to take care of that need, but there's also other things in your life that he wants you to take care of. And if we just present requests to God, then we miss out on the little things that God actually wants to do in our life because we're so worried about the big things. And so he comes to Jesus. He falls into submission. He recognizes who Jesus is. Now, for a man like this, this is bonkers. Because if he's a synagogue leader, and if you look at what Jesus is doing, he's actually challenging those people. He's challenging synagogue leaders. And so he's coming to a person that they've probably had dialogue with. There's probably been a moment where Jairus has come face to face with Jesus before. Probably a moment where Jairus and Jesus have had an interaction. And so he's falling at the feet of Jesus, and he's falling to the feet of someone that his colleagues would have thought he was crazy. He's coming to someone that he shouldn't be coming to. He's falling at the feet of Jesus. And he presents a need to Jesus, and Jairus is desperate. He's desperate because he needs a miracle. Now, the thing, there's tons of people around him. Tons of people. There's a crowd. And I'm sure that crowd is full of people who have wants and needs. How many of you here have a want? I got wants. How many of you here have needs? I have a lot of needs. And so there's this crowd around them, and what I thought was interesting was the fact that the Bible records Jairus, because he was willing to fall at the feet of Jesus and submit to him and say, I am willing to do something that probably no one else here is willing. Because they all probably had wants. They probably all had something to present to Jesus, things that they wanted, things that they needed. And there's a crowd around them. And Jairus is the one that Jesus decides to pay attention to because he's the only one that postured himself. Everyone else just wanted to present a need. And I want you to notice his faith too. He says, please come and lay your hands on her, heal her so she can live. That's a statement of faith. It's not like a if, and, or but, or maybe, possibly. No, he's saying, come to my house and lay hands on my daughter and heal her. Because he's saying that because he knows that he can. He's making a statement of faith. How you view Jesus can influence how you ask things of God. And this is super important because I think a lot of times we like to separate the two. I think a lot of people have, they like the idea of God, but they're afraid of Jesus. And I say that because I was watching a video on Facebook somebody posted. How many of you here know Chris Pratt? He is an actor. He's in Avengers, all the Jurassic World movies and all that. And he accepted an award at some MTV awards ceremony. And he was up there and he started talking about God. And if you listen to the audience, like one of the first things that he said is like that there's a creator and that God created everything. And everyone's like, you kind of feel the stutter. They're like, what? Oh, he's talking about God? Oh. Yay, cool. And they start cheering him on. They're happy. They're excited. And he starts going through this list of advice. Like he goes through this list of advice. And by the end of it, he gets to Jesus and the crowd is a lot lower. Anybody seen this clip? And as I was watching it, I just had this thought of like, man, people really don't mind the thought of a creator, of a God. But when it comes to Jesus, to actually acknowledge Jesus and who he is requires more than just being like, oh, sure, there's a God that created everything. Because if we believe Jesus and who he was, who he said he was, then it means that when we read our Bible, we have to take the letters that are in red and apply them to our lives. And a lot of times people are afraid of that because the standard is really high. It's really high. And our feelings and our opinions combat the words of Jesus. They tend to kind of veer off to the side a little bit. And so people tend to, they tend to just look at Jesus as just this person. And they don't view him as God. They don't view him in a way that can change their lives. They don't view him in a way that, oh, I'm going to submit to Jesus and who he is for me in my life because I'm afraid of putting pressure on areas of my life that I don't want no pressure put on. And so they just avoid it. But Jairus had a need. He came to Jesus because he had a need and he had faith for that need. St. Augustine said, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. He had faith for a miracle for his little girl that he had not yet seen. And so Jesus agrees to come with him. And so they're on this journey. And while they're walking, there's this woman that stops them. This woman that's not supposed to be there. Now, for me, this is another pet peeve, another frustrating thing. My wife gets easily distracted, especially when we walk into Target. And so we'll be walking and I'll be like, hey, so what? Where did she go? Does this happen to anybody else? Thank you. Because Target does it so well. They have a little dollar section right there. All the women's clothes. The guys are like clothes are in the, they're in the back. Like you have to go to the supply closet for those. Like all the women's stuff is just out there and I have to guide her and lead her with like little blinders on. I'm like, don't look, babe. We're here for one thing. You know, but I can kind of see this like happening to Jairus. Walking, so excited. And then he's like, wait a second. Where's Jesus? What are you doing with this lady back here, Jesus? Like, what's going on? Whoa, she's not even supposed to be here. You're supposed to be over there with all the other uncleans. Bye. And what he ends up witnessing is a miracle. Because this woman who was unclean had an issue of blood for 12 years. She reaches out. She fights through the crowd. She grabs Jesus' garment, and she's instantaneously. And I can imagine the thought process of the people around them. Because from Jairus' perspective, when he's watching this happen, there's a process that Jesus is supposed to have to go through for like 7 days, I think it is. There's a process because they've come into contact with this woman that they have to go through now. And I'm sure he's like, oh, great, this lady's blown it. Like, he's never going to come to my house because he's got to go wash his clothes. He's got to do all this stuff. Like, he's not going to make it. And I think as they're looking at this and they're seeing what is happening, they realize that the woman is clean, that Jesus is clean. It wasn't the fact that she touched him and now he was unclean. He made her clean. And I think they're looking at this being like, yo, what is happening? Like, you ever been a part of something you're like, I don't even know what's going on right now? Like, that's crazy, but Jesus, we got to go. Like, clock is ticking. And so I think it actually encouraged Jairus. I think he saw this, and I think it raised a little faith inside of him. I think it raised his faith. And there's a common denominator between Jairus and this woman, and that is faith. Because if you look at the words of Jesus, he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And so there's a common thing between these two people that would have never met otherwise, brought together by Jesus, and it's because of faith. Now, I don't want to overlook Jairus in this situation because he's standing there watching another person get a miracle. And again, I think it probably encouraged him, like, oh, well, if he can do that for her, then he can do that for my daughter. My daughter will actually be healed. And I think faith began to rise up inside of him. But what we see in that verse 35, it says, while he was still speaking to her, talking about Jesus, it says, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. There's no use troubling the teacher now. Do you know how many times I've heard that in my life? And I'm not talking about that phrase specifically, but I've heard that phrase in failure. I've heard that phrase in fear. I've heard that phrase in addictions. I've heard that phrase in doubt. I've heard that phrase in many different areas of my life. You know what? Don't bother Jesus with this. Don't bother him anymore. There's no use. Because for you, it seems like it's only gotten worse. If we look at Jairus, he came to Jesus, fell at his feet. Yay, awesome. We're on the way. We're moving. Watches another lady get a miracle. All right, great. You slowed me down, but hey, it was cool. Now for him, it's only seemed like it's gotten worse. And if someone ever told you that when you come into a relationship with Jesus that everything would just magically get better, they lied to you. Because how many of you know that we are not immune to challenges and pain? Every person in here has fought through something, tooth and nail. And there's going to be more things that you'll have to fight through. And there will be many, 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 many more seasons of your life that are going to try to tell you there's no use in bothering Jesus. But here's the great part. In verse 36, it says this, but Jesus overheard. Man, I'm so glad Jesus overheard. This should be the most comforting, celebratory thing ever, is the fact that when somebody, when a challenge comes to you and says, there's no use in bothering Jesus anymore, whatever that lie is, whatever that person said to you that was nasty, whatever it is, that thing that's trying to tear you down, whatever it is, that mountain you're trying to climb, there's no use in bothering Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus overheard. Everything that's been said to you, he's heard it. And he's been keeping an account of it. Jesus overheard. And he looked at him and he said, Jairus, don't be afraid. Have faith. Have faith. And for me, I always read people in the Bible, I read about them in the Bible, and I judge them so hard because I'm like, you just watched Jesus heal this woman. How can you not have faith in that moment? Has anybody else ever thought that? Like there's times in the Bible where literally, like when Peter was walking on water and he sunk and Jesus was like, where was your faith? I'm like, how do you not have faith in the middle of walking on water? Am I the only person who thinks that? Like, how do you not have faith in that moment? And I think it's a testament to how life treats us. Life will slap you around, tell you to sit down. Life will mess you up. And it's not that we don't experience things like that. It's that we don't experience those things alone. And in that moment, you have a decision to make, just as Jairus did. You have a decision. Because Jairus could have gone home and faced his challenge alone. He could have had to go home and bury his daughter. He probably already felt some guilt for leaving her anyways in that moment and not being with her. But instead, he chose to go home and to face his challenge with Jesus. And I think for him, I think for a lot of us here today, is that when we experience seasons of life that are hard, we have to remember the reason we came to Jesus in the first place. Because we all have a need. And whether you just grew up in church, and like me, your parents dragged you to church your whole life because they dragged me to church, and I'm very glad that they did. You've probably come to church for a reason. You probably had a need at some point where you were like, I've turned to this, I've turned to that, I've gone here, done that, I've tried everything. I'm willing to try one more thing. And that's when you ended up here. It's that desperation mode that Jairus was at. I'm willing to do things that people would have never thought I would. I'm willing to go to church. I've had friends walking here that I'm like, what are you doing here? And I hope that you have the same feeling, because that we all have needs. We all have something that brought us here. There's something in your life that God has done. There's something in your life that you're waiting for him to do. There's something in your life that you've been praying for probably decades about. And the thing is you came here because you had a need. And I want you to, if you've had that experience with God, that will keep you. remembering what brought you here in the first place will keep you through your whole journey. Because all it takes is that one moment. All it takes is that one thing for you to be like, wow, look at what God did in my life. And sometimes we overcomplicate it. It can be so simple. I think a lot of times we neglect how important salvation is and how much of an excitement it is. Because salvation is a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. And I think sometimes we just treat it as something so minuscule, so small, so delicate. And I want to challenge you today that in your walk, the things that you are going to experience in life, never forget the reason you came to Jesus in the first place. And if you're here today and you're like, what are you talking about? Because I've never come to Jesus in my life at all. Today is your day. Because you're sitting in the seat for a reason. You have a need. And there is a God in heaven. Jesus died on the cross. He did the unthinkable. He did the greatest miracle of all time. And he defeated death, hell, and the grave so that we could have salvation. So that we could be a part of that miracle. And so as you stand with your feet this morning, just with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to challenge you not to become a spectator in church. Not to become a spectator. And maybe you're here and you've never submitted yourself before God. You've never submitted yourself into a relationship with him. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And I just want to challenge you today that if you've never, ever started a relationship with Jesus, today is your day. I heard somebody say one time, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. And that's so true. I think a lot of times we walk through life and we regret the things that we've done. We regret the fact that maybe we walked away from church at a later age. Today is the best day to start a relationship with Jesus. So if that's you today, we believe in a very simple and meaningful and powerful prayer. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouths that we would be saved. And so today, if you would just repeat this prayer after me, dear God, we just thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. I know that he died on the cross for me and he rose again 3 days later. Today, I would ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent and turn away from them. I would also ask you that you strengthen my heart so that I may not return to those things. Thank you for saving me and thank you for the blood that you shed. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anybody in here this moment that is the first time you've ever said a prayer, the first time you've ever submitted to the name of Jesus, would you just raise your hand? We believe that Jesus is a saving power, that he died for you. Thank you. If our prayer team could go ahead and come on up, if our prayer team can come forward, we want to pray with you. Again, we know that we are not exempt from life's challenges. And so I would ask that if you are walking through something where you have a need, there are people up here that want to walk with you. There are people in this altar that want to pray with you. Believe this morning in the power of the name of Jesus. And keep on keeping on. Whether you've been in this journey for 6 days, 6 years, it doesn't matter how long. Keep on keeping on. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. God, we just want to make your name famous. We want to honor you in this place today. And Lord, we just thank you so much for everything that you've done, everything that you're going to continue to do, what you're doing through Project Hope, what you've done through VBS, what you're going to do through Youth Camp, what you're going to do through all the events left in our church this year, God. And we just want your name to be known, God. We want our community to know the name of Jesus. And so, God, we just ask that you would strengthen us, Lord, so that when challenges come, when pain comes, when the mountain comes, Lord God, that we would never forget that you do not leave us, you do not forsake us, you're with us every single step, you walk with us, you care about every step, you care about every person. And so God, we just ask that you would strengthen our hearts, Lord, that you would strengthen our spirits, God, that we would be able to stand upright, Lord, and just honor you with our lives. We thank you so much, and we just want to honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, these people are up here for you. If not, church, we love you. Have a great week, and we will see you next Sunday.